Okay, welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir, and we are continuing the Shar Ha'ava on Daf Mem Ches, and this is Shir number 2 for Shar Ha'ava. We've covered the two kinds of loves so far, the avas, the love for a parent to a child, and the love for money. And of course, we are discussing the misconstrued love, the improper love, the love used in the wrong fashion. And now we are up to avas shlishis, avas noshim. This is the third love, and it's referring to the love for women. V'im tia lo isha, we'll read through first of all, and then we'll try to explain. V'im tia lo isha ra. If the woman we're referring to here is his wife, and she unfortunately is a wicked person, balas kaiva hori, oh, she's filled with horiness, he tasya milibo kol hamitzvos, she will remove from his heart all the mitzvos, v'him timshechei achareha, and she will draw him towards her, influence him, in other words, improperly, umirov ahava, and because of the great love that he has, Eino meiz panav negda, he won't stand up against her, v'shomei latzasa, and he will listen and follow her counsel. V'hi t'vi eoli dei malolim ro'im, she will bring him to commit evil acts, v'ga merova avoso, and furthermore, because of his great love, es hanoshim, for women, yistakel b'hem todir, he will gaze at them regularly, vidaber nivlos, and he will speak inappropriate things, immorality, v'yovel lidei niyof, and it will bring him to act in a promiscuous fashion, simply because he has a love for women. Now, since we are talking about the improper love, of course, as the Aruch HaTzadikim's manner is, that he discusses the bad before the good. It has to be understood that when we use the word love here, it really doesn't mean love. It means lust, or I would like to use another word, infatuation. He's infatuated. You know, these days we live in a society where even if we're referring to chosan and kala, boyfriend and girlfriend as they call it, or even husband and wife in the beginning, and you hear comments, I'm in love with him, I'm in love with her. That is impossible. What they really mean to say is, I'm infatuated with her, or with him. With her, it could be, you know, the blonde hair, blue eyes, or it's, you know, the way she looks, or her clothing. And with him, it could be his money, or the car that he drives. You know, in that vein, I heard a funny line the other day, that the economy is so bad that women are beginning to marry for love, you know. So, you know. So you see that the love we're referring to here is not a real love. It's infatuation. There can't be a love because we've discussed before that the only way to develop a sense of love is using the shorish of the word love, which means hav, which means to give. And until a man has given to his wife, he cannot claim to love him. In fact, we know this directly from the Torah. There's a beautiful pshat here that by Yitzchak Avinu, it says, "Vayikachecha, vayikach, vayikachecha, vayeavelcha." He took her. In other words, he married her, and then he loved her. So Avsham Shirafal Hirsch makes a note of the fact. What do you mean? Yitzchak married someone he wasn't in love with? How do you marry a woman you're not in love with him? That is correct. He married her before he was in love with her. I guess he saw potential, and he saw the proper midos, and he saw that this can, hapiderach hateva, according to the laws of nature, this could work out very well. But he could not have loved him before, left her beforehand. It's only once he is living with her and giving to her and continuously showing concern and giving her comfort and so on and so forth, then hopefully that develops into love. So these days when we say they're in love or we're in love, It's nishke shtoigen, nishke floigen. That's not the case. It's just infatuation. I know it's uncomfortable for some people to hear this, but that's the way it really is. It cannot. It's impossible. Even if you will date the person for months, but until you're paying debts together, until you're paying for the mortgage together, until you're taking a child to the hospital in the middle of the night together, changing diapers, and paying bills, all of these necessities, which bring a husband and wife closer, then we're developing, by the way, and it has to keep on being developed. It never doesn't come a point where you can say, okay, that is the ultimate love that I have for my spouse. Impossible. It's constant giving one to the other. Now, I don't want in any means to come across as the physical is not important. I heard from one of today's leading gedolim, one of the gedolei hador. I'm not quite sure he wants his name mentioned, but I heard from him directly that physical attraction is extremely important. So much so, he said, that he advises his talmidim, or those who seek his advice, he advises them that the woman that you marry has to be good-looking enough to you that when you're walking with her and another woman walks down the street, you don't have a desire to look at the other woman. In other words, to take your eyes off of your wife and look at the other woman. So there is an important aspect of the physical attraction. It's very necessary. So let's continue. In other words, the ava that we had, the ava that he's referring to here is not real ava. The ava he's referring to here is a misconstrued ava. It's really the love for himself. It's infatuation. He's overwhelmed by something that he sees or something that he feels, even if it's an emotion. He's overwhelmed by the emotion. But it can't be love, as the Torah says, ava. It can't be real love. It's impossible. Now later on in the paragraph when he says, she will bring him to evil acts. Very interesting, by the way. It doesn't have to be evil acts, as we use our imagination to think. It could be something simple, like conversations in the house go the wrong way because a man becomes so overwhelmed with his woman that he doesn't want to hurt her feelings. Now, of course, his woman has to be treated. The wife has to be treated with kid gloves, and we have to have sensitivities to the wife, obviously, and we've spoken many times about this. However, at the same time, his passion, or this infatuation with his wife cannot be so much so that he will be afraid to turn her down when she wants to try to get him to do something wrong. In other words, I'll give you an example. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, "Altar v'sicha ma'isha," don't speak too much to women. And then it says, "Be'ishta amro," this is referring to your own wife. What do you mean, don't speak to your own wife? Chas v'shalom. In fact, we're very careful that there should be a tremendous amount of communication between a husband and wife. So you have to understand what the Mishnah means, Be'ishto Amru. But one of the Peshatim is the Alvas de Rav Nosson, who says this refers to a situation when the husband comes home from shul on Shabbos, and the first question the wife asks him, what's new in shul? How did the rabbi speak? Did everybody get along in shul today? And because of his infatuation with his wife, and she is she's a wicked kind of person, and he doesn't want to hurt her feelings, so he will start telling, boy, the rabbi spoke, boy, did he speak, I didn't understand a word he said, he wasn't prepared, and then you get into Lashon Hara, and he starts talking about the people who had a chulin fight, and the chvesvas. So this is what it refers to here, that we have to be careful, and particularly because, like it says at the end of the paragraph, with this takel b'hem todir, a person who develops this infatuation for women will not be able to prevent himself from gazing and speaking with them. And at the end when he said, "Yavoli deniov," and it will become to act immorally. We've mentioned that story with the Kotzke Rebbe when he saw his chassid, walking at the wall, looking at the wall, and right? That's an idea. In other words, if a person, his training, his upbringing is to be overwhelmed by infatuation, this is what the Aruch HaTzaddikim is referring to here. Okay, so let's go on to the next one. The Ha'ava HaRaviyas, Hi'avas Krovav. The fourth love that we're referring to is the love for relatives. Oviv, v'imo, father, mother, echov, v'achyosa, brothers and sisters, v'shakarova, v'reya, v'chaverov, and other extended family and friends. When we tocha avosam, and because of his love for them, which is a misconstrued love, yisaya lahem b'machlokusam, he will side with them when they have a machlokus, when they're in dispute with someone else, he would side with them. Now, we have to understand, gentlemen, what is wrong with this kind of love? We have to be careful when we're dealing with family or good friends, because we view these people as an extension of ourselves. You know, when the famous phrase, my son the doctor, it doesn't say the doctor my son. It's my son the doctor. Why? It's my son, that's number one. And he happens to be a doctor. Now, I don't want to pick on doctors. It could have been my son the rocket scientist or my son the rabbi. But the father is patting himself on the back because it's my son and it's an extension of me. Once someone else is an extension of me, so the love that I have for myself is going to be extended to the person who I feel is an extension to me. So that has to be taken into consideration when we're dealing with friends, close friends, and certainly with relatives. And just as a person cannot find fault in himself, it's hard for him to find fault in his relatives because they're an extension of him. And when it comes to assisting them in a machlokas, there's an amazing peleoid here. The peleoid says that even if the dispute they're having with someone else, they are correct, they are taking the right side, still, you should not come and testify for them. You should not side with them, because others will suspect that you are either flattering them or you're blinded by your love for them. So even if they are right, when it comes to friends and relatives, let somebody else deal with it. Of course, if there's any way that you can assist them, so to speak, in helping them in other matters, We know from previous, there's a pasuk in Tanakh, Mipsor Chal Tisalin. Don't separate yourself from your flesh. And the closer a person is related to you, the more responsibility you have for the person. But when it comes to a machlokas, when it comes to a dispute that they're having, we don't get involved, because we will be under suspicion that we are siding with them because they are an extension of ourselves. And once we are involved with a relative, we will not be careful if they are at fault in their machlokas. We will persistently and consistently cover up for them and protect them. V'af in parts of Protzes Rabbos, even if they have broken many barriers, Yogan Aleim, we will still try to shield them. V'gam Shomer La'atzosom, we will listen to their counsel. V'af in Ma'itzahi Eina Tova Lo Yosu Midivreihem, because there are relatives, because there are close friends, even if they advise us to do something wrong, we will follow them. V'gam Yitzel Alosom La'malo She'enam Ruas Lahem. Ah, now you get into politics. We will try to raise them to positions that they're not worthy of. K'gon La'atzosom Moshle, to make them rulers, you know, a mayor, a governor, uparnasei hador, and supervisors, v'lios rodenbaum, and to be in charge of the people in the community, even if they're lowlifes, they're rishoyim. Lo yochush b'zeh, we won't worry, we won't let it bother us, because they're related to us. Listen to the language here. He says the love will deafen the, will blind the person's eyes and deafen his ears. V'yesh b'zeh kilku Godol, there's tremendous damage. They will bend the entire world to their vanities. In other words, after all said and done, if a person doesn't recognize that his relative is an extension of him, and therefore he is blinded by that, then of course he's going to be led astray. So again, this is the fourth kind of love, and any love that we're discussing here, we have to be careful. When we're presented with a situation, tonight, tomorrow, next week, when we have to deal with a relative, and there's trouble on the line, we have to recognize immediately, wait a second, am I looking at this straight? Am I being misconstrued? Am I being bent out of shape here? Simply because they are our relative. Let's go on to the next one. Ava Hamishis. This is the fifth kind of love. And he avas orech yomim. This is the natural love that a person has for long life. Everybody likes to live. And because of his great love for life, lo yamod bani sayon, He won't stand up to a test. Now, the obvious, most simple interpretation to the test. The simple translation interpretation, this means we know there are 33 cardinal sins that a person must be ready to give his life for. Immorality and idol worship and murder. Somebody puts a gun to your head, chas v'shalom, and says, kill him or I'll kill you. You have to let yourself be taken. Or God forbid, if it's for idol worship or for immorality, the same as adultery, is the same idea. Three cardinal sins. Only a person who realizes that he has a love for life, and if he pulls the trigger, my life is going to end, that kind of person becomes much more difficult to be able to give his life. Now, Baruch Hashem, I mean, as I say in Yiddish, we should never be taken to task for something like that. But there are other areas, not actually giving up our lives. This could be simply showing commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah because of our love of life, meaning the manner in which we live our life. I'll give you an example. You know, in Parshas Yisra, when Yisra joined the Klal Yisrael, so it says he came El HaMidbar. So Rashi says, we know already that Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar. Why does the Torah have to add those words that he came to the wilderness if they were there already? So Rashi says, to show the praise of Yisro. Yisro came from Midyan, where he was sitting on the top of the world, and he had his DVD player, VCR, and surround sound, air conditioning, swimming pool, you know. He had it, he was living a life of Riley. Everything at his fingertips, remote control. And now he's coming to a Midbar of zeros. And what's there in the wilderness? Trees and sand. For him, that's a tremendous amount of Mesiras Nefesh to leave a life of luxury and to join the Klal Yisrael in the most meager, you know, existence, that to show the praise of Israel. So you see, even though he had a love for life, but he saw through it. How many people are willing to do that? That to be able to live on the, you know, the high end, but we sometimes have to do things improper or illegal because we don't want to give up our lifestyle. Sometimes we don't have to give up our life, but we have to give up our lifestyle. And that is, that is not a simple thing. You know, it's like, you know, the difference between being involved in Yiddishkeit or being committed. And that's the story I think we mentioned with the chicken and the pig. That was the idea. The story, we once told a story here about the chicken and the pig. They were sitting in the barn one night, the chicken and the pig, and they have a discussion. You know, Farmer Joe does so much for us every day. Let's reciprocate. Show appreciation, gratitude. What do you say? What can we do? So the pig says, you know, I have an idea. He serves us breakfast every day. Tomorrow we're going to serve him breakfast. We'll serve the Farmer Joe breakfast. So the chicken says, oh, nice idea. What should we serve him? So the pig says, listen, I came up with the idea. You come up with the recipe. So the chicken sits there and he thinks to himself, I got it. Let's serve him ham and eggs. So the pig says, whoa, 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 wait a second. For you, that's involvement. For me, that's commitment. You know, so the difference between involvement and commitment, you know, so most people are involved in Yiddishkeit. You know, well, I'll keep the mitzvahs, but be committed, even if it means giving up a lifestyle, a high-end lifestyle, because of, the love. The love for life, or the love for to enjoyment of life. So, you know, this we have to be very careful. When I know in the yeshiva, if it's in the yeshiva world necessarily, or in the dating world, in the Torah digger dating world these days, there is a phrase. I think it's used more for the women as of the girls as opposed to the boys, although it certainly applies as well to the boys. And that is when questions are being asked when you're investigating about a shidduch. You want to know if the other person is high maintenance. That's what they call it. Is she high maintenance? Is he high maintenance? That means, is she expecting a new skirt and blouse, a new dress, is he expecting to be able to drive such and such a car? You know, he can't drive around with a Chevy. He's got to have, an Infiniti. You know, what is he? High maintenance. So this is what we're referring to. If a person has a love for a high lifestyle, then it's misconstrued, and of course he has to be able to control. I just want to include, and by no means does this mean to insinuate that a person should not do whatever he can and she can to maintain their health so that they could have longevity, 100%. It's just that where the fuss that the Archa Sadikim is making here is that because of his love for a long life or a lifestyle, he will do things wrong to maintain that lifestyle. And that is, that's improper. One more for tonight, Ava Ashishis. Number six. Ahi Ava Sakovod. This is a person's love for honor, for respect. Incidentally, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato, the author of the Mesillas Shalom, writes that although man can control his desire for money and other pleasures, it will be honor that will do him in. Just think of our officials these days, our government officials. They are all I think, kamat, without exception, independently wealthy. Why in the world do they need it? Who has to stay up to be the president of the United States? You know what it means, the responsibility, the achrayas, that the world is standing on your decision. You have sleepless nights. That's it for 4 years at least. Who needs it? And the ridicule. Why? Because your picture's in the paper every day. Ego, it's all ego. Ava Sakova, the love for honor. And by the way, I'm not going to refer to any one president. All of them, all the high officials, the same thing. V'yohoi v'sakova, a person who has a love affair with honor. Lo yu masav l'shem shemayim. His actions will not be for the sake of heaven. Ki kol ha-mitzvah shi'asa. Any mitzvah that he performs. Im yitain staka, whether it will be calling out his amount for the appeal in shul, giving charity. O yasek b'torah, or coming to the Beis Medrash to learn Torah. Oh, Bishar mitzvah or any other mitzvah, tefillin, tzitzis, you machshavto bekavan osoach ha-shevach v'kavod. He'll be doing it because people will hear about it and they will praise him and honor him for it. V'yachbod sheyitnu lo keser agdula, and his desire will be only that he is placed upon his head the crown of greatness. V'zeh hefsid gadol b'masiv avoda. This is a great detriment to divine service. V'afilo, listen to the statement that he makes now. V'afilo yishmi sheyesh bo Torah masim. Even if a person is imbued with Torah Masim Tovim, that means he's a Talmud Chacham. He knows Gan Shas. Hakovod Motzio Min Olam. When Nebuch, unfortunately, the honor will remove him from the world. By the way, there's a familiar mission in Pirkei Avos. Kina v'ataiva v'akovod motzio olam min olam. The kina means jealousy, envy. Taiva means desires, and kovod, honor, remove a person from the world. So the Medrash Shmuel says that the main, that kovod, honor, one who seeks honor, is the main cause for sinas chinam, for hatred between one person and another. Why? Because he feels that somehow, some way, he is not being shown as much respect from the other guy as he deserves, and therefore he develops a hatred for the guy. And it can't be taken simply. Rabbeinu Yonah says that Yosef HaTzadik, even though he was a tzadik, you know, he was next to the youngest brother, but he died first. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the reason was it because he showed dominance over his other brothers. To some degree, on his level, of course, we don't chas v'shalom say that it was an outright, sin, but on a microscopic level, for Yosef HaTzadik, he showed a little too much dominance, over his brothers when they came to him when he was the viceroy in Egypt. So this, cannot be taken lightly. Let's continue and finish the parak here, the paragraph. Kol shkein ol amor so mi sheim bo Torah masim tovim. Certainly a person who doesn't have Torah masim tovim. Rodev achar kavod, and he pursues honor, kama maisa megunim. How terrible are his actions. You know that Rabbi Yisrael Salanta is known to have said that people don't die of hunger, of starvation. They die of prestige. And that means if a person doesn't have a job, for example, loses his job, or never couldn't get a job, and he has an opportunity to go to Publix and pile up the shelves in Publix or do cleaning of the streets. But he has a pasnish famir, it's beneath my dignity, so I'm not going to. So he'd rather die of starvation and bring his family down with him. Why? So people say he died never of starvation. No, he didn't die, Rabbi Shaul Salanta said, from starvation. He died of prestige because he had a desire for comfort, for honor. It's below his dignity to do certain jobs. And by the way, this goes straight up the ladder, even if it means being the second fiddle to the President of the United States. How does the Vice President feel? How do you think the Vice President feels? It irks him every single day. I wouldn't be surprised if some of them are just sitting around waiting for the big guy to get shot so he can take over. You know what I mean? Because it's to play second fiddle is nebuch. It shouldn't happen. Of course, we don't look for that. But this is it's unfortunate. These kinds of things that happen. And of course, we mentioned the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, with Yerovam ben Nevat, who was a sinner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to get him to do tshuva, and Hashem said, please do tshuva. If you do, if you repent, you and David HaMelech and myself, we will stroll in Gan Eden together. So Yerovam ben Nevat, said, who's going to walk first? Who's going to be in the front of the line? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's going to be, remember, it's going to be the three of us. It'll be you, and it'll be David HaMelech, and it'll be myself. Who's going to walk in front of the line? Not me, Hashem says. David HaMelech has to be in the front. You'll be second, I'll be third. God is willing to take the back seat. Yerovam ben Nevat heard that. What? I'm not number one? Forget it, no deal. And he didn't do tshuva, and he goes to Gehenna. Imagine giving up an opportunity like that to walk a threesome with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David HaMelech. But you can't. So you think of, by the way, a situation like this. And how does it apply to us? That he wanted to be first. How often do you see, particularly you see in grade school and then through high school, you see they're going on a trip on a bus somewhere. What do they call? Shotgun. Yeah, you know that term shotgun? Shotgun means the front seat next to the driver. By the way, you know why it's called a shotgun? Because in the Wild West, one guy was holding on to the reins of the horse, the other guy sitting next to him held the rifle to hold off the Indians, you know, the enemy. So he was shotgun, he held a shotgun. That's why it's called the shotgun seat. No, let me ask you. So they run and they trample each other to get the shotgun. They have to have the front seat. And how many people are our age, even, you know, adults, when it comes to a kiddush, serving a kiddush, I got to be the first one online. You know what I mean? God forbid I have to wait until to be served afterwards. And when the waiter is serving, we're sitting at a chasen and the waiter is serving, you know, and then we see him coming with the tray and we're hoping and praying, please, please, God in Himmel, I hope he puts the plate down in front of me first, and I should have to wait another 5 seconds. So you see, this concept of honor, respect applies here. Okay, gentlemen, Mr. Shem will continue next week. Have a wonderful Shabbos.